everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. Today, Memorial Day. How hot it is in your area to be what we would call the unofficial first day of the summer. But also it's time to remember people from our past, from the military. And you know, I grew up in the years of 50s and 60s, and I can remember in the 70s Vietnam War. So I do remember these times, and I always thought that Memorial Day was a very special day in our house because my uncle was in the Vietnam War, and we always would remember, and he would come over and he would talk to us until he passed away much earlier than he ever should be. So today, let's take a time and just remember that there are a lot of people out there that were able to give up their lives for us, and that's really important because, you know, my son signed up for the National Guard, and I went, really, why are you doing that? And all of his brothers and sisters went, oh, my gosh, you can't do that. We don't want you. We don't want to do that. That's just not, we're not a military family. We don't understand it. It's something we can't comprehend. And he says, you know, I'm going to give it a try. So you know what? Even though we're not a military family, he's going to give it a try, and everybody's behind him. So I can honestly understand a lot of the families out there, all of the trials and tribulations they've had in their lives and everything they've gone through, and we always thank them for their service. So today we're going to have a very interesting show. It's called Four Seasons in 4 Weeks. Now, if you read the name of that book and you said Four Seasons in 4 Weeks, Lord, I don't know what this book is about. And then you saw it on the top where it says, every woman's nature. And I go, oh, Lord, yeah, I know. My wife's crazy one day. She's not crazy the next day. She's throwing the mustard against the wall the other day, and the other day she's putting candles on the table. I know. That's not really seasons. That's just really, you know, she's got to be bipolar or schizoid or something's going on in this house. And you think about it. It's all about the hormones. And you think, oh, gosh. Then just get her those little ones, you know, that come in the birth control pack, and then it'll just regulate everything, and we're good to go. Yeah, okay, sure. And then you think about 30s and 40s. Things start changing again, and, you know, stuff starts going crazy. You know, one day you come home, and she's got red hair with a purple stripe down. She's in her late 40s, or she's got a halter top on and you know, those little short shorts with her 7-inch high heels. Ay, ay, ay. That's what we're talking about. How can your hormones influence your entire body, your body, your mind, and your spirit? It can take you from one end of your life to another and everywhere in between and just cause all kinds of chaos. But today we're going to be speaking with Suzanne Mathis McQueen. She's going to be telling us how to make sense of a lot of that chaos and maybe how to say, it's okay, step back, take a breath, and if you know those things are coming, maybe you just don't have mustard in the house that day. Or maybe you go out to eat that day that you might anticipate that she's going to not have a great day. And maybe you could head off some of this stuff. And maybe you could start having a little bit more peace in your house. Wouldn't that be absolutely insanely crazy? I know when I grew up, oh my goodness gracious, my mother had no bearing whatsoever on her hormones, none. She had a hysterectomy very early, and oh my goodness gracious, it was just off the wall, and that was in the, like I said, the 60s, so there was no talk of hormones. Nobody knew what anything was going on. They just knew that things were going crazy. So welcome, and welcome to the show, Suzanne, because, you know, I really think a lot of people need to start learning about what is really going on with women's hormones and how we can actually, say, take a breath of fresh air.
Well, that's really true. Thanks for having me today, Dr. Jeanette. I'm really happy to be here and really super happy to talk about this topic.
Don't you think it's all this craziness from one end to the other?
Absolutely not. I am so clear that there is absolutely nothing crazy about it, that it's actually a logical, predictable blueprint, that when I talk with women and men about this, but women especially, most of the time once we go through it, they almost feel a little bit sad that they didn't understand this a long time ago, and they really want their girls to understand it now. But as women, no matter what age, they seem to be really, really relieved and happy to hear this information because they know it rings true.
And it certainly does, because if you ever have people sit down long enough to write things down, they will say, you know, this day I just wasn't feeling right. This day I wasn't feeling at my best. This day I was so tired I really couldn't even get moving. And if they would keep it for long enough, they would see a pattern. And that is a beginning of what you talk about in your book, which is 4 seasons in 4 weeks. And you say, you know, to look for patterns, to start putting things down. And but people don't ever take time, but now is the time to do that, because it is very important to look at that.
Well, right. Well, they haven't really written anything down, because they really don't, they haven't been taught that there's anything to look for. They've been, you know, we have been taught for generations upon generations upon generations upon generations that as women, we are just flat out crazy, and that we change our minds a lot.
Right.
So there hasn't been any encouragement, not only in our society, but globally, for women to actually look for anything that would make sense. I mean, even though, you know, in our biology class, it shows us what the pattern of the hormones are, we're really not taught that there's anything that we can do about it. And that's just absolutely not true.
Well, how did you even get started in thinking about this book? I mean, it's not like it just sits there and comes to you. I mean, did you have some issues going on in your own life, or did you hear it from other women?
No, well, you know, it's kind of crazy that I'm even in this at all, because I am somebody who absolutely never believed that my hormones had anything to do with what made me tick. And, you know, not one bit. I think mainly because I didn't like the way that society made this so taboo, and it was so embarrassing, and we're the butt of the jokes, and, you know, the whole thing. And we can't have women be leaders, because they might push the button, you know, that they might hit the nuclear bomb at the wrong day. You know, that kind of stuff has been insulting to me since I was a little tiny girl, and I've never really understood it. I kind of felt like Alice in Wonderland, where everything was backwards and upside down. So I just stayed away from the hormone issue, because that just seemed like that was, you know, you get involved with that, and that just makes everything seem crazier. So this really wasn't my topic. But what happened for me is that back in the late 90s, I had a large business. I had a staff of 30 people, which was large for me, and mostly women. I was in the day spa industry, salon and day spa industry. I really loved it, had a lot of, you know, loved the business, loved the staff, loved the clients, the whole thing. And I was hearing a lot of stories. I mean, as a hairdresser in the earlier days, you just really hear a lot from women really putting their really telling their stories of heartbreak around their wombs, their stories of their cycles, their stories of their pregnancies, or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. So I did hear a lot of things, but I still did not start looking at my own hormones or anything. But what happened is I found that I started making some inconsistent decisions at my business, and this really bothered me. I mean, it really didn't bother anybody else. Nobody seemed to notice. But I noticed some inconsistent viewpoints. I would look at one particular topic, and every time we approached it, I would approach it a little bit differently, and not in a way of just coming up with a new idea. I just found that my attitude around it would change, and it bothered me, because I felt like I was good at putting out the vision for the business, and we were a tight, really run business. But I thought, oh, gosh, you know, and then it just occurred to me that maybe I needed to start tracking my hormones. And I did that. And I didn't do it in any sort of traditional way. I didn't do it in a way that a woman who has fertility challenges would start tracking or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
All I was doing was I was just simply writing down how I felt each day. What was my physical energy like? What was my mental viewpoint like? What was my my sexual energy like? And I just made little notes, and I really did not make any big deal of it at all. I just wrote down notes. Otherwise, I was super busy, and I really wasn't paying that much attention to this. But what ended up happening is that after a couple of months or so, 2 or 3 months down the road, I went home from work on a lunch break, and I was standing in my kitchen eating a sandwich, looking through my day planner over the notes I had been making over the past few months. And I'm telling you that what happened is that the pattern emerged right before my eyes, and what happened for me, because I'm a very visual person and I see patterns very easily, I just saw the words fall, winter, spring, and summer. I saw exactly how my cycle laid out, that each week carried the characteristics of the four seasons and identified with the characteristics of each moon phase, the new moon, waxing moon, full moon, and waning moon. And I could, this was in just a second time. I mean, I really saw this thing and I knew exactly what it meant, almost as if when we're in a dream state and something comes to us, a big epiphany. So I decided right then and there that I would map it out ahead of time. I thought, okay, well, let's see. Today I'm on day 17, let's say. So that means I'm in spring, week 3. And next week I'll be in summer, and then the following week in fall, you know, that kind of thing. And I started tracking that way. What would happen is I'd wake up in the morning. I would figure out what day I was on, and I would say, okay, well, let's see. Today that means I'm in fall. And I knew what that meant. I knew how to handle the day according to that. And what came of that just astonished me. The system was incredibly accurate. And I found myself all of a sudden in alignment in so many ways. In my, you know, I was able to pull my health together in more alignment, my relationships, my business, mainly my confidence. And I've always been a confident woman. I mean, I've always felt like I'm an empowered female. But this was different. This really made things come together. And I all of a sudden had mastery over my what I learned was a monthly rhythm that I just hadn't really known had existed before.
You know, I can remember when I was working in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I worked as a dental hygienist in a dental office, and I can tell you, the energies of those women in that office, you could almost bake it outside the doors, you know? I mean, you could feel it, which is when you're coming in. And when you're saying about the seasons of the cycle, and what you have to remember is that you may be in one place, the other person may be in a different place, and the other person's in another place. So with all these people in different spots, you really need to know where you're at and get a handle on yourself instead of always reacting to other people all the time, because otherwise you're just setting off an explosion chain reaction inside the building. That's pretty much what you're doing because, you know, nobody really has a handle on it, and they're all just reacting. Isn't that correct?
Oh, it's so beautifully put. I mean, you know, I think you've just really nailed it. When you're talking about that otherwise you're in this reactive state, that's exactly what is happening. And when you have mastery over this, all of a sudden you really do understand how to be centered yourself, exactly how to handle what's happening. You're, you know, you're really basically surfing a wave or you're getting into the current of something. And then you end up having more compassion for the other women around you. Because you can start seeing, you can start feeling it yourself. You can kind of start feeling where they're at if they actually understand this, their own rhythm themselves. Then you can dance better together. You know, there a lot more compassion comes out of this. But otherwise, you're just firing off, and everybody's reacting. Yeah.
Right. And when you look at it, really, the only time women ever will step back from confronting or in what I call engaging, you know, engaging the drama. And the only time they'll ever step back from that is usually when someone's just had a baby or something like that. They say, oh, we need to be careful. We need to, you know, keep ourselves, you know, away and don't over-engage her in drama. You know, she needs to be calm, cool, and collective, blah, blah, blah. But yet they can't give that any credence on day-to-day, but they'll certainly look at it at that time in life.
This whole thing, and it all comes down to really, I think that we are not as kind, we are a lot more combative when we really don't understand what's going on. And when we do, everything just gets calm. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, I think in any time, well, someone will say, you know, this has really been a stressful day for me, and it's just, it is what it is. It has nothing mm-hmm. to do with you. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. a lot of people will say, oh, you always do this, and I'm always waiting for that, you know, that whole story. But mm-hmm. really, if you just say, it's not all about you, it's just
That's
about
right.
that it's just a tough day for me, and maybe you need right. to step back and realize that, or leave me mm-hmm. alone, or do whatever you need to do, but it's time to just step back, and that's so vitally important if you have that information, as you've said.
And when people take responsibility for themselves, that helps calm everyone. That helps the situation
yeah.
greatly. When someone says, listen, I'm just having a rough day, then people do kind of back off. If you start accusing them, then you've got a battle on your hands, you know.
Yeah. You just don't need that fuel for the fire. You feel like you're a propane person, you know, that's just everybody's out to cook the next one, you know, because they just have to see where they're going. But
yeah.
So how can any woman start to even think about taking care of their own body or even looking at what you're talking about? And if you can explain, I guess we'll start out, what are the four seasons and how do they relate to the cycle?
Great. Well, what I'd like to explain first of all, and this is the way that everybody can really relate to this thing. If you think about any natural rhythm of the universe, it basically has four phases that look something like a resting phase, a building phase, an expression phase, and a deconstructing phase, and back to rest. You know, when we go outside in the morning, we may see, if we're out bright and early, the flowers are just opening up, and then they come fully alive some point during the day, and then at night they start closing back down again, maybe. All of us have a 24-hour circadian rhythm, men and women both. We all have a 24-hour body clock, and so that resting phase is when we're sleeping. We have a building phase where we get up in the morning and our organs are coming alive and all of that. At some point in the afternoon, we peak, and then at night, we wind back down, and then it's back to rest again. And maybe we do that two or three times during the day. Maybe we take a nap, you know, during the afternoon. But either way, we all, as living beings, go through these basic four phases. What happens is that in addition to all of us having this 24-hour circadian rhythm, women have the same in a monthly rhythm because of our reproductive cycle. So if we break down the approximate 28 days into four guided weeks, week 1, 2, 3, 4, or fall, winter, spring, and summer, again, it also relates to a new moon, a waxing moon, a full moon, and a waning moon, then we can start to see the pattern of what is very, very natural. As women, we are, the bottom line is we're construction zones. During our cycling years, we are building a uterine nest to prepare for a pregnancy. If no pregnancy happens, we have to deconstruct that nest, and we do that over and over and over again for over 40 years of our lives, minus pregnancies and nursing or early hysterectomy or anything like that. And when we're realizing that this is just another natural rhythm in the universe, albeit a super powerful one, because we are the human source of creation, this is something to pay attention to. There's nothing crazy about it. The patterns, what we can learn from each of these phases is that they have certain characteristics and traits that are very, very easy to identify. And when I have women start really tracking those energies, they start seeing the patterns emerge themselves, just like I did. And it's really, sometimes it makes you laugh because you just can't quite believe it. You cannot believe how simple this is and how predictable it actually is.
And also, too, that people need to realize that human beings are part of nature. They are, that is our energy. And
yeah.
sometimes, I guess, I don't know where it came, but people would always think that they were separate from energy. They weren't like mm-hmm. this, that, or the other. They were people, you know. They weren't animals. They weren't like flowers.
Yep.
They weren't like the sun, moon, or the stars. Don't talk to me about that. That doesn't relate. They all thought
mm-hmm.
that was all hippie stuff, when in actuality,
yep.
it was just that who brought it forward and said, guys, start listening, you know. You're missing
yep.
a little important piece here. And I think that's where the conversation had to start and take a change.
And it's really kind of funny how it has morphed around. It's ebbed and flowed through different cultures, and I mean, even in the United States. You know, it depends on where you live in the country and that kind of thing.
Right.
What is, and it almost doesn't even matter if it's conservative or liberal viewpoints in a way, or religious or non-religious, because it sort of depends on who's doing the talking about it. It's pretty much being, we're pretty much shown that women used to cycle with the moon before artificial lighting, meaning that most of them started on the new moon and ovulated on the full moon, or birth babies on the full moon. And there's a lot of, even though this is a lot of its oral tradition, there seems to be a lot of evidence, and they can recreate that in the scientific lab these days. But I do know that my relatives, I come from, I grew up on the West Coast, but my mother's from North Carolina, my dad's from Tennessee, and I come from a long line of Tennessee and Kentucky farmers, and they planted by the moon. And when you ask a lot of Southerners, you're going to find that that's nothing crazy at all. That was a really normal thing to get the right crop. And so they were in sync with that rhythm. We all are rhythmic when we think about the logic of it. We make decisions based on rhythm every single day of our lives throughout that 24-hour circadian rhythm, that 24-hour body clock. During the day, we all make decisions based on rhythm. When are we having coffee? When will we not have coffee? Will we make that big decision at night? Well, no, maybe we'll sleep on it, and we'll get up in the morning when our minds are feeling a little bit more fresh. You know, we all make decisions based on that, and we don't say that we're crazy. We don't tell each other that we're crazy for making a different decision at night in the morning, that we would make in the morning. And so that's what I'm trying to put out to the women. None of this ebb and flow is perfectly natural, and I'm putting this out to the men too. This is perfectly natural. There's nothing crazy about it at all. I mean, it completely makes sense when you're looking at what is going on in a woman's body. So what I really do with Four Seasons in 4 Weeks is that I take the biological hormones, just the basics, the non-technical version. I take this broad view of, look, this is really kind of what's basically going on, and I make them relevant to a woman's everyday life. And I make them relevant by looking at what is the psychological thing that it's telling us? How does it relate to our experience? And I also bring out the primal wisdom of what is actually happening with this particular phase according to what its purpose is. So that may sound a little convoluted, but in one way it is a mind-body-spirit experience, and we just haven't been taught what that is. We've only been taught the biology of the hormones, which is, I would say, the body part of the mind, body, and spirit. We've got this scientifically accurate hormonal landscape, but it is really, really hard to relate to your day-to-day life. When someone starts talking about the follicular stage or the luteal phase, I mean, I'm sorry, but that just doesn't mean much. That doesn't mean much if I'm taking my kids to school or, you know, whatever. And so what I really talk about is having women really understand how this natural rhythm within us, this monthly rhythm, is a predictable blueprint that is really more than that. It's a navigational system within us that is guiding us with or without our knowledge. It is guiding us into certain energies. And if we would just turn and look at it, it's very, very simple, and we can use that to our benefit
to
make optimal decisions.
Right. So if you're saying, like, a lot of times I'm really having these difficult times and, you know, it's got to be my kids that have ADHD. It can't possibly be me having a problem with stress, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
I think that's very common for a lot of women to say that I'm not functioning at the level that I need to be right now, and I really don't know how to get started to go forward. So by this talk, well, you know, and to be able to start looking at something different, you could say, you know what, Maybe it's my reactions. Maybe it's how I'm feeling. And maybe we're all just interacting at the wrong speed, and I'm going to really work on it. And that's where women really do need to look at something, correct?
Well, that's true. And what I want to say loud and clear is that their issues are valid. That ADHD kid is a big stressor. You know, I mean that's a big deal in the family. Women are overworked, and they always have been. It doesn't matter that they're at work now. They were overworked when they were at home solely. You know, women have always been overworked. And what this navigational system within us does is it actually right there inside of us. We've got this coping mechanism that shows us how to handle it all. So when we turn to it and when we really learn it and we follow that current, when we really ride those waves by understanding what they can teach us and what they can tell us every single day, it's really such a wonderful homecoming into the self that is such a relief that, again, it's something that many women get so teary about when they really start understanding this, because they really do understand that they're not crazy. They really do understand
right.
that they can cope with all of these everyday stressors going on that everyone has, and each woman has unique ones happening. But that kid that she's got, that maybe she's got four kids and one of them is more hyper and another one is failing in school, but two other ones are doing great. And a husband who is, you know, maybe supportive mm-hmm. or maybe not. Maybe mm-hmm. work is, you know, but it's just a lot to handle in life. And when you can turn inward to yourself and know how to tap into those tools, and we can go through those four phases if you like, and I can
mm-hmm.
show you those tools, then,
right.
I mean, everything changes for the better. Everything changes for the better.
Well, let's start, and we'll go through the four seasons, and we'll just briefly touch on each one, how they can tap mm-hmm. into each of the tools and what it would look like to someone who was in distress and how it would look like if you were able to work through it.
Yes, great. Okay, so the first week, we let me just say very quickly is that if someone's not remembering these four phases, this is a lot of information in one phone call, they can go to my website. There is a free download for a poster that maps out
mm-hmm.
these four phases and gives you the descriptions of each of these four phases. So I just wanted to throw that out there now while we were talking about it, just so that they know
Perfect.
That that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first week, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So the first week is the resting phase. It's week one. If it's a cycling woman, she would start tracking on the first day of her period. I also want to throw in that I believe that this is an imprint that we have as females from the time we're born until the time we die. We never lose this rhythm, but it surfaces during our reproductive years to show its fullest manifestation, to show us its fullest blueprint, to show us what those four phases really look like. So if it's a cycling woman, she would start on the first day of her period. If it's a non-cycling woman, early hysterectomy or postmenopause, or I'll even say the girls, I have them start tracking on the first day of the new moon, and I have everybody track their physical energy, their sexual energy, their mental viewpoint, their beauty cycle, and their communication cycle. I would have the girls just track their physical energy, at, say, starting at 5 years old, so that they start understanding that they're rhythmic, and they start seeing how they're moving into adolescence. And by the time adolescence hits, they're not, you know, it's not really foreign. They just start
mm-hmm.
adding more of these energies on. But that first phase would be start with the first day of the period, and that is the resting phase. The hormones are at their lowest right here. And what does that tell us? It tells us to lay low. And I'd say this is the biggest problem of all. Women are not resting enough. And when women aren't resting enough, it's no different than you or I not getting a good night's sleep. And we might be able to handle that one night, but any more than one
right.
night, I mean, at least for me, I'm trashed. I mean, and it just messes me up for days. When women aren't resting during this phase, it messes them up for the rest of the month. And what does this look like? What it means is that we're not sick, although at times we may not feel well. But we are, have the kids at home all day. We can go to work. We can do any of those things. But what it means is that we're being mindful. That means that we don't do the extra errand after work. We go home and we rest. If we have a partner, we ask him to support us in encouraging us to rest. I have in the book, I have what I call a man guide, because it's really important. It's really straight women that have who suffer the most, because they have a partner. If they're in a marriage or in partnership with a man, then they have a partner who doesn't understand the cycle. So I ask I ask the men to really understand this and encourage the woman in his life to rest and relax and make dinner or get dinner takeout. Get a movie and you both be mellow and relax. If there are children at home, then if he can take over for the first 3 days or so, as much as possible. You know, as far as we're really talking about what's doable for your home. We're not talking about changing, you know, everything radically. We're talking about making some subtle shifts and enough so that the woman is supported in resting. And anyway, there are different things that go through that follow through that week. But when she rests well, all of a sudden her best ideas start coming in, her best planning starts coming in, her best visions start coming in, and then she becomes sort of artistic, and she makes it through that first phase, and then we move on to the second week. That would relate to fall, like red leaves falling from the trees. It's harvest time. We're getting rid of the old uterine nest, and we're preparing now for the new one.
Well, you know, just real quickly, so if we go back to the winter phase, I always think that when we're looking at fertility issues in women, you know, everybody says, well, I have to make sure and pay attention at that time of the month, and I need to be at my best at that time. And when really the resting time is, if you've ever done this, and I always relate things very simply, is if you ever say, did you ever try to go to bed in a bed that you didn't make for a week? It was like such a pain. You just, you're like, oh, I just don't feel restful. It's like it's something, the energy isn't right about it, you know, something's just not right. And a lot of times, you know, infertility issues can begin in that first stage because you really haven't taken the time to set the phase, to set the mood, to set the presence, to set the intention. It's not worried about just what are you worried about those 5 days out of the month, and the rest of the time you're just, oh, didn't get pregnant, going to have a drink, see you later kind of idea. You know, that's really so vitally important to people to understand too.
It's really important that everyone understand that this is one cycle. This is not a separated out cycle. I break it down so that you can see what the phases are like, but definitely 1 week prepares for the next. And each one, each phase is vitally important to stay on top of, to not only look at what's happening today, but also how you're preparing for tomorrow and next week. And once a woman really gets that concept down, once she understands that it's one cycle, just like the moon phases, we don't jump from the new moon to the full moon. You know, the moon moves along and we are exactly like that. And when we honor that and we understand, again, how 1 week prepares for the next, it makes all the difference in the world.
And it certainly doesn't. You just, you know, same thing with when you're planting flowers outside. You don't just say, you know, oh, heck, I missed the spring. I should have put out seedlings. Well, let me just throw some seeds in the ground in the summer and hope for the best. It's like not going to happen.
No, not going to happen.
So definitely we're just focusing on, and what Suzanne is saying is that one phase does build on the next because it is an ebb and flow of energy. You can't turn on your stove in the morning and then shut it off and expect your food to be cooked by the nighttime. You know, things have to be in progression. Things have to be in energy, in right order in the universe, and that's just the way it is. So once you get that in your head, I think we just move to the next phase.
Yes, and so the next phase, so that was fall. I look at fall, again, that first phase is really the harvest time, the end. We have to get rid of the old cycle first, and then we move forward. And now we enter week two, which is the building phase. And in a really broad way, the hormones now are going from 0 to 100. Basically, the estrogen, the testosterone has got this little cocktail going on that is building the eggs. You're moving toward You're building the uterine nest here. You're building toward ovulation, but before you get there, you're just building this uterine nest. And what that means, I think of it as winter, because winter, you can look at a beautiful snowy mountain, and you start at the bottom and you climb up. This is the week where, because you're building your relationships, you're building your business, you're building your home life, you're building your partnership, and because you're building, because you are scientifically building your eggs, what this means what our primal wisdom is telling us is that we are attracting a mate at this point. And when we are attracting a mate, we actually become very sexually intoxicated in a way. We actually love everybody. We kind of want to do it all. We want to make sandwiches for everybody. We want to, you know, give everybody a ride here or there. We want to connect with our friends. We want to connect with our family. And what we'd really like more than anything is to connect with our partner. And if we don't have a partner, we'd love to have one. All of this is going on underneath the surface, again, with or without us. But what I have the partners say, what I have the guys do, is to clear their calendar and court the woman. It's time to go on dates. It's time to have heart-to-heart talks. This is a super, super romantic week. Birth control, contraception needs to be in place this week and a little bit in the first week if you do not want to have a pregnancy. As long as you have that going on, then it's time to really get in there and support your relationship. It's time to do these dates. It's time to get together with people. You're really at your best for connecting and networking. And the other thing that's really important, the thing that's really important about being mindful is also what can happen, what I call the shadow side of each week. And what the shadow side of this week would be is that, let's say you get invited to a party. Let's say that you're single and you get invited to a party. You'd better take a girlfriend with you, and it's the buddy system, and you make a plan, because I'll tell you what will happen is some cute guy comes walking in, and you're just convinced it's Mr. Right. You just know it's Mr. Right, and it may or may not be Mr. Right. So you have a plan with your girlfriend that says, you don't let me leave your sight, you know, without us having a conversation, you know, and it really can help with some future heartache, if, you know, and disappointment and regret and things like that. I mean, there are so many levels to this whole cycle that it can tell us, but for sure, this is the week that you're building relationships. And it's the time to be mindful about also not overdoing it, not overcommitting, because that can put you in a situation that you're not happy about later as well.
And also, if people, I think right now people are really dependent upon birth control pills. They really don't know what it means. They just go by the numbers and that's it. Mm-hmm. And if they ever had to rely on natural childbirth, you know, birth control, I don't really even think that they would be able to. I know myself, I could not take the birth control pills, so I did rely on that. And I just was, just had a sense, just knew kind of what was what and where was going on every month, and I was okay. But I can honestly say that 99% of my friends or family members or my clients or anybody did not have that sense. So what you're really doing is just putting labels on the senses to know. In other words, you're putting the guideposts in the road so that people will be able to say, I recognize you, and this might be important, so that one's not working for me. That one I get. And then be able to start building their path and understanding it. And I really think that's what we're doing here.
Beautiful. That's just beautiful. I mean, I really do think that every girl should learn some version of the fertility awareness method early on. Whether they end up using it for contraception or not, that takes a lot of dedication and a lot of mindfulness. But when you learn a system like that, you're going to understand. You're going to have it more naturally. And every woman on the planet needs to understand this whole their hormones in this way. They need to be able to understand it really well for the most part. And the other piece of it is that the thing that they really have to be mindful about is that even though they understand that this is the week that they're especially fertile, they will understand that mentally that they are extremely fertile. But mm-hmm. the beauty about really understanding yourself is knowing that you have to be very careful, because that sexual intoxication
right.
will overcome you, and you will rationalize, you know, doing something anyway, because you want to have sex during this week. And so it doesn't feel that good to not, if you have a partner, to abstain mm-hmm. if this is what you naturally feel. But there are some decisions to make there. There are mindful decisions to make there. And the more you're aware of what's going on, the better decisions you're going to make.
And then we move to the next season?
The next season is week 3, which I call spring, and it begins with ovulation. Many people would want to end the second week with ovulation, but I saw this as a whole different phase. And what happens with ovulation is it relates to the full moon. I mean, we have, in that second week, we were growing in beauty. Scientifically, we were growing more beautiful to attract that partner. Now we've hit ovulation. The egg has dropped down. And what that means is that we are in our pure goddess state. I mean, we are no different than how magnificent the full moon is every single time we see it. That is us on ovulation. We are simply magnificent creatures. And I probably write in the book more about ovulation than anything, because it's such a remarkable time symbolically. For instance, it is, primally speaking, when you think about an egg dropping down, first of all, and then when you think about possibly a sperm and an egg connecting, that is primal stuff. That is primordial stuff. And it doesn't get much more primordial than that. And so we are really looking at this this earth connection. It's also that coming together is the most spiritual thing that could possibly happen. You know, we're talking about creation. And so we're talking about this earth-spirit alignment that's like no other on the planet right here in our female bodies. That is pretty remarkable stuff. I call this time also the moment of truth, because this is our expression phase. This is that third phase from resting, building, expressing. This is full expression. So this is the time when we really need to be asking ourselves if we are showing up in our authenticity, if we are really showing up in full truth of who we are, which most of the time we're not, because we've all been, you know, we've all been raised a certain way. We all, you know, we want to make our families happy or our friends happy, or, you know, what tribes we belong to, you know. And it's very hard to break away from that and really become an individual, because it might be weird to everybody else. But our cycle gives us an opportunity, gives us guideposts, again, that say to us, take a look at this. We should be feeling really, really good at this point. Now, the estrogen has already dropped, but the progesterone is now coming in, and progesterone is a really good feeling drug. It makes us feel very balanced and really good. So we're still, even after ovulation, we're kind of sitting high on our throne, and this is a really great world leader mode. This is a world mother mode. This is a time with partners and friends and family to really be having mind-to-mind talks. What's going on with our money? What's going on with the kids? Where are we living? This is a time when we really need to be taking advantage of these of this part of the cycle. We can make these decisions anytime throughout the cycle, but there are other things that we need to do. There are other tools that we need to bring in to help us with that. During this particular time, this is just flat out the best time I have found to be making particular decisions, really important decisions here. And if the body figures out that it's not pregnant, it takes many days from the time that an egg drops down, if an egg and sperm connect, it takes many days for that to get to the uterine wall to attach itself in order to figure out whether there's a pregnancy or not. And so if there is no pregnancy, then we start to lose our feel-good drugs, our progesterone starts to go, and then we enter week 4, which is what I call summer.
And summer, tell us a little bit about summer, because I have a little thoughts on that. Okay. I'll tell you at the end.
Yeah. So summer is what we traditionally call PMS, and I get rid of that idea altogether unless a woman is really suffering. And there are lots of women who have some real, mm-hmm. real bad issues with this. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the average woman. And I call it summer because this week is like the hottest frickin' day of the year, right? I mean, this is the day when it is so hot out that it's all anybody can talk about is just how hot it is. You just can't find relief anywhere. And maybe I love you, honey, but don't touch me. You know, I mean, that's the way the hot summer day is, you know. In this particular case, women's bodies are like this because when we lose those feel-good drugs, we've already started losing our estrogen. And when our progesterone is tanking, now what's happening is our bodies are breaking down and preparing our bodies to purge that uterine lining the following week. This week can really be compared to labor, being in labor, how the body in labor is pushing the baby into position. Everything is moving and changing, and the bones are stretching, and the hips are stretching, and the pelvis, all of that. Everything's moving into position in order to birth that baby the following week. The same thing is happening here in this particular week of the cycle. You're not in labor, but it's like a mini labor in many ways, and we don't call labor a syndrome. This is a natural thing that has to happen in order for the uterine lining to purge. It's a super radical thing that goes on in a woman's body. But what do? We tell her she's threatening. We make it worse. We kick her when she's down, when really what needs to happen here is really respect what's happening. And for the woman herself, I mean, she's so used to society telling her she's this horrible person during this time that she believes it herself. But when she starts to understand what's really happening, I call this the fire walk. I think of it as a very ceremonial time. This is such a phenomenal week. It's really become my favorite week in so many ways because it's such an opportunity to take a look at what no longer serves us. And I know that we hear that term once in a while, but this is really true. What happens here is that women in this firewalk, they are in survival mode. This is the deconstructing phase, and it's the problem-solving phase. It's the processing phase. And what happens here is that she can start seeing it for what it is, because in that second week, she really loved everybody. In this week, which is the opposite end of the cycle, she thinks everybody's stupid. I mean, she just flat out thinks everybody's stupid. And so she really feels extremely justified in how she feels about how stupid everybody is. And the truth is that she actually is justified. It's just that she needs to now start understanding why this affects her so much. She needs to start seeing what I call hot spots. The hot spots are the times when you feel like bursting into tears and you don't know why, or it's over the top, or you yell at somebody, you snap at someone. What I have women do is to start writing these things down. And when you start noticing that you do that and you see it for what it is, you see it that your body is breaking down, you may still feel like in your mind you're thinking you're justified, and again, you are, but it's important to take these pieces. And I say gather up two or three or four of these hot spots, and now you take them in internally and you write them down. What happens here is that because when you start writing them down, as you go through each cycle over and over and over again, you get an opportunity to figure out why these things bother you so much. And here's the beauty, is that when you figure out why they bother you, you end up discovering what your greatest gifts are. You start discovering what's so awesome about you. It bothers you that these things are happening because you're not really like that. If someone is being irresponsible, well, maybe you're not an irresponsible person. And it's time to honor yourself for the things that you do well and forgive that other person. It's a time to really glean information that is really important. It's a time to see what our true values and principles are, because what's happening is that all this stuff is washing out of us. All of this stuff is breaking down. We're hanging on for dear life to our values and principles. What happens is that, let's say that money becomes an issue that week. Something big happens and money is a problem. And what happens for the woman is that she's in survival mode. So it not only threatens her survival, it threatens the survival of her children. So, I mean, this is a primal thing. And we become real mama bears at this point. We just don't want people messing with our survival or messing with our children. We don't want them messing with our values and principles. But when we track over and over and we start seeing it, we know it when we're in it finally. And it may take many rounds, but when we see it, we start processing these little pieces. We start honoring ourselves for who we are. And pretty soon, after a few months of tracking, that fourth week all of a sudden really smooths out and we don't have as hard of a time. We also learn how to eat to prepare our bodies to not inflame so much and different things like that. And
but
then
also
we finally go internally.
But mm-hmm. also, too, if we learn that we're in the fourth week and our best friend is in her second, and you're saying, mm-hmm. let's use an example, you know, you don't like irresponsibility or you don't like floosiness or whatever you want to say, you know, just use it
okay.
as an example, and then you'll uh-huh. turn around and your best friend is in her second week and you see it, you know, I mean, that
yeah.
causes pure conflict. But if
right.
you both understood, you would say, mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, we are mm-hmm. not, you know, just having a fight because we're not good for each other to be friends or because you're stupid and I'm dumb and you're out on the town and I don't like that, you know. But you would
right.
understand it so much better. And I think that is the power of this book, is that you would be able to say, I'm not going to say it's just this. It's not going
mm-hmm.
to be me just wallowing my way through the month, you know?
Yeah.
And then next month is going to be any different. It's going to be the same thing until you get a handle on it.
Well, you know, I love the examples you keep bringing up because you have real-world examples. You have really great examples of what actually happens between women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important. I just really love this, what you're saying. For sure, what would happen there is that the woman in the fourth week would write this down. And the one in the second week is
mm-hmm.
just party girl. I mean, you know, she's just in party girl.
Right.
It's a good time for connecting in one way, but she is over the top. She's a little drunk, you know, and you can't talk
right.
to a drunk person. And then you've got the person who's sort of in judgmental mode, but she needs to write
mm-hmm.
that down. And at some point, because you both know what's going on, when you are in, when you start identifying these things and you're writing them down, you can connect with each other and have talks and
right.
say, oh, my gosh. And I have had women laugh with each other going, oh, my gosh, did you see what was happening there? And then you both
right.
get a chance to reverse that, you know,
mm-hmm.
when the one that was in the fourth week is now the party girl. And, you know, and you really can help each other now. You really can help to balance out each other's monthly cycle, monthly rhythm over time, and everybody starts becoming more mindful.
Well, Suzanne, I hate to say this, but you know what? Don't send your book to any of those shows on, you know, that station, Bravo TV, because, I mean,
yeah.
that's what people look for is drama. We don't want them
no.
to even out their issues.
Right.
And
okay,
it's so
I'll
interesting,
keep that in
mind. Right. But isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's a perfect example of playing out, because all of those
mm-hmm.
women are various times in their lives, some of childbearing age, some not, some going in and some going out. And when you take all of those potent people and you say with strong will, you know, hey, we're just going to put you all together. We want to see what you – it's sort of like putting tigers in a cage without food and
yeah.
saying, I'm going to put this heater on and this fan. Let's just see what goes on. I almost feel
yeah.
like that sometimes, you know.
It's
and
true.
It's really, let's see how much pressure we can put you people under and just see. We're waiting for the reaction and we're looking for the drama. And really – is that really what the world is all about? And I don't think it
no.
is, but unfortunately, a lot of people pay for it because that's why it's on media and it's on TV. But other people, you know, we're day-to-day people. We're people who say, I would like to have a best friend. I would like to feel better with my family members. I would like, you know, to my aunts to be able to go talk to them and stuff. But, you know,
right.
and be able, if you can get a handle on it. I mean, my goodness, everybody – wants to know when everyone's birthday is because, you know, they celebrate those things. Then you get the tarot cards and the psychics who say, well, what time of the day were you born, you know? And, you know, to see how people can commiserate together. But this is even, this is the best way to have women to be able to speak with other women and understand them, but also to honor them and not just keep on bashing, reacting, and over pushing buttons. This is a non-pushing button template.
That's right, and it's so empowering. Once you understand yourself and you see it, again, it's just homecoming to the self in a way that, that women have not known. And I think it's something that we used to know a long, long time ago. I think we used to know this system very well. But now it's coming back online, let's say.
Well, you know, when I was a single parent with four kids, I had two jobs, and I was going to medical school at the same time. So do you want me to tell you that I would even think about that? I had no clue. I could care less, and you'd be the first one out the door. But I think now that everybody's gotten more since this economic downturn, people are saying, what is important in my life? So really, I think we're coming back into that phasing out of all of this excess. And if we can get to a point where more excess is gone, we will be able to start connecting back to this.
I think so. People don't really ultimately they want to be happy, and they're happy when they're happy. They're happy when they're feeling peaceful and loving, and I don't care who it is. It when they actually feel it in their bones, when they actually embody that by something that happens for them, when they actually understand something about themselves a little bit better. I mean, I just think that that's that's the key within each and every person in helping the whole world become a, you know, become a better place.
Well, we have really burned through the hour. We're at the top of the hour. So I'd like to thank you so much for being with us. Could you please give the listeners some information on your events? You have a series and your book and where to purchase it and your website. That would be great.
Thank you so much. Yes, the website is 4s4w.com, like 4 seasons, 4 weeks.com, 4s4w.com. Go to the website and pick up that free poster. It's a digital download, so you'll either have it on your computer or you'll need to print it out, but it'll give you those four phases. I have a live retreat coming up in Oregon where I live at Brighton Bush Hot Springs, which is June 10th through the 13th. I would love for anyone to fly out this way, and it should be very powerful, very fun. And then in August, I have probably the most important thing of all. I have a 13-week online course, which it's easy to track on your own. It's a lot more fun and supportive to track with a whole bunch of other women. And it's like one big online women's circle. We'll have many things happening with that that will be, I think, just, you know, life-changing. So I encourage you to join me there. Most of all, just please remember that you're rhythmic and that that just documenting a few notes every day is important, and you'll start getting back in line with your natural rhythm.
Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for being with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Dr. Janetta. It's been such a pleasure. Yeah, thank you.
Great. And thank you so much. And do have a great evening.
Me too.
So if you'd like more information about Suzanne Mathis McQueen, her book is 4 Seasons in 4 Weeks. And it also says Awakening the Power, Wisdom, and Beauty in Every Woman's Nature. Please do visit the link on today's show page. It will take you directly to her website where you'll be able to find out more information, purchase the book, and find out more about her events. And don't forget about the free downloadable poster. It is very important that you start somewhere. Hey, you could start there right now while even listening to the show. Just click on, open another window on your computer, and you'll be able to download that poster and follow right along with our conversation. So thank you so much for being with us today. It has been a pleasure. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great evening.